Thank you for that good time of worship. I am so honored, as I told you this morning, to be here, and I'm so grateful to Pastor Lawson. What a man of God he is, and a preacher of the gospel, and an encourager to me, and I appreciate him. Thank you so much for having me come back, my brother. Mark chapter 5. We're going to stay in Mark. Mark chapter 5. And I'm going to begin to read in verse 21. Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 21. The Word of God says, "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus." Now, let's just stop for a moment. I've heard him called Jairus. The Greek tongue gives it a little bit of Jairus. But I'm from far enough in the country, we just called him Jairus when I was growing up, and I still do. Amen. So we're going to stick with Jairus. Amen. So I just want you to know. Amen. We're going to call him Jairus. So the Bible said he's a ruler of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, that is, he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." And Jesus went with him. I'm trying to get through this before I get excited right here. Listen, and Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Now, I know the next verse is verse 25, but I want to skip down to verse 35. "While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead, why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe." Pray with me. Father, thank you for your word. Oh God, I pray that it would please you to preach it to us tonight. Lord, would you just dismiss me and set me to the side and let us hear from heaven. God, I pray that your name would be glorified and exalted. And Lord, I pray you would touch our hearts and cause us to want to believe more than we ever have. God, preach to us tonight. I am totally and completely dependent upon you. If you don't preach, there'll be none done. I'm trusting you, Lord. And I pray that all the praise, any praise that might come, may it all be credited to King Jesus, for it's in his name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Believing is absolutely imperative to being a follower of Christ. And the more I talk to folks across our beloved state and other places, I'm finding that before they can get saved, I got to help them get lost. Because they think they're good enough. Well, my grandpa went to church over there. Wasn't that special? Well, I've been baptized. Wasn't that special? Have you been saved? And what does it mean to be saved? It means you believe in your heart. And I'm finding that folks want to try everything but that and call themselves a Christian. And we live in a day where folks have it, well, they find it difficult to take God at his word. They find it difficult to just believe it. They seem to be like those who say, well, I won't believe it till I see it. Amen. I've never seen Jesus, but I know him personally. I am going to see the one they were just singing about. Oh, I want to look upon the face of the one who saved me by his grace. I'm looking for, and I'm going to see it. How do I know? Because I believe, according to Scripture. Well, in this text, we find Jesus. I wish I had time to preach the whole chapter of Mark 5, but we'd be here till next week sometime, so I won't. But he's just been to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, the land of the Gadareans, and he came upon one that I'll refer to as the mad Gadarean. He was demon-possessed. He approached Jesus, and Jesus began to cast these demons out of him. They said, oh, don't cast us to hell. He said, well, go to those pigs over there. And they went in those pigs. The pigs ran off the side of the mountain, drowned. And here come the folks from town. And they were more upset about their pigs being dead than they were about a man who was running naked, wild, could not be tamed. He was demon possessed, and now he was sitting clothed and in his right mind, because when you meet Jesus, it'll do something for you. Amen. Amen. I wish I had time. And so he got back on the boat and he came back to the other side. And the Bible said when he got to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, people had already begun to gather. Maybe they had already heard about a legion of demons being taken out of a man. I don't know. Maybe they had heard other testimonies of what, I don't know. I just know that the Bible said many people had gathered. And so there's a crowd of people, and as they've gathered together, there comes one in the midst of the crowd, and the Bible tells us that he's a ruler in the synagogue. His name is Jairus, and the Bible said he fell at his feet and began to call on him. Let me use a term you'll know. He began to pray. Let's look at this man for just a minute. He's a ruler in the synagogue. So this tells me that he is a man who is known, because everybody who went to synagogue would have seen him and known him. He's a ruler. He kind of helped things keep moving. He organized stuff and kept everything in order. So he's a ruler in the synagogue. He's a man of reputation. People would have known who he was. He's a ruler in the synagogue, so he's a religious man. Okay, so folks recognized him from the synagogue, but they also recognized him as a religious man. And this man of great reputation, this man who was well known, comes up to Jesus, who's in the midst of a crowd, and he did not care who else was there. He fell on his face and began to pray. Why would he do such a thing? Because his burden was great. His request was heavy. And he believed that Jesus could do something about it. So I want to talk about only belief. First of all, we need to believe when we pray. I said we need to believe when we pray. Here comes a man of reputation, a religious man. Everybody knew who he was. It wasn't like he could hide. It wasn't like Nicodemus. He could come by night. No, he's in front of everybody, and he got on his knees before King Jesus. Why do you do that? Because your burden's so great. I submit to you, we ought to get on our knees a little more often in the presence of Jesus. I don't know. I'm just strange enough in this world to believe that is the proper posture for praying. On our knees, in a role, in a position of submission before the king. This man who's a ruler in the synagogue, a man of reputation, comes, and look what the Bible says. He besought him greatly, verse 23, and he said this, "My little daughter." I told you this morning that I'm a granddaddy, George. That's my grandson's name. He's 8 weeks old as of Friday. Now, on October the 8th, I'm expecting my granddaughter. I have two sons. I have two wonderful daughter-in-laws. I have a grandson, but I'm rearing because I'm about to have a granddaughter. And I've already made it known to the family, whatever she wants. Just call Pops. That's what they call me, Pops. Amen. Just call Pops. Amen. Because that's my little girl. I can't wait. I can't wait. Listen, I thought daughter-in-laws was wonderful. I love my daughter-in-laws. They love the Lord Jesus. And now I'm going to get a granddaughter. Anyway, amen. I digress. And so he said, my little daughter. See, his burden is great because it's personal. His burden is great because it's his child. He has a responsibility for her. And he said, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. She's sick nigh unto death. Watch this. I pray thee, come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed. And she shall live. Now that's praying and believing. Notice what he didn't say. Lord, my little girl's sick nigh unto death. If there's anything you can do. Now we don't pray that way, do we? Oh no, don't confess now. We come into church to prayer meeting and somebody's sick and we stand up and say, oh, let's pray for sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so. Doctor said all that's left to do is pray.
Yeah.
Why didn't we start there? You're listening to a practicing physician who says there's nothing left to do. I don't know about you. I appreciate practicing physicians, but I'd just soon talk to the physician. My Lord, I stepped on an offering plate. Hey, when he prayed believing. How many of us go to the Lord with our needs and we say, Lord, if there's anything you can do? How insulting that must be to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. If there's any, what are you praying if about? Because you're praying about his ability. If there's anything you can do. As if he just gonna think of something that he hadn't already done.
Yep.
Hello?
Sure.
We don't go and pray if. We ought to pray like this man. Lord, I'm asking you to come by and lay your hands on my daughter. And when you lay your hands on my daughter, she'll be healed and she shall live. That's praying in faith.
Yeah.
I said that's praying. Let me tell you how you know if you're praying in faith when you pray. Can I help you? If you thank him in the same prayer you ask, Lord, I've got this, and you tell him what's going on, tell him what your burden is, and then you're saying, Lord, I just want to go ahead and thank you in advance because I know you heard me, because you said if I pray in your name, you'll hear me. You said if I pray in your name believing, you'll hear me, and I believe he hears me. We ought to pray believing and say thank you at the same time we ask. That's praying and believing. This man said, Lord, if you come by, notice he didn't say, if you'll come by, maybe she'll be healed. No, if you come, she'll be healed and she shall live. That's a prayer of faith. How you doing with that? What are you praying for? I wish I had time to give you some testimony. I've seen God do exceedingly abundantly above anything I can think or imagine. You know why? Because that's just the kind of God he is. Some of you say, well, I don't have such. Well, the Bible said you have not because you ask not. Now, some of you don't have because you ask amiss. God, give me $1 million. He can't trust you with what you got. You don't even bring a tithe of what you're making now. Why would he trust you with $1 million?
That's right, amen. Right there.
Amen.
I mean, some of y'all saw that lottery got up to over $1 billion. You said, I can go buy some of that. And now, let me tell you something. You have a better chance of getting struck by lightning 7 times in your life than you do winning that. How many of you have been struck 3 times by lightning? Let me see. And yet the Bible said in Malachi 3, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse and see if I won't bless you so much you're going to have to build some new barns.
Yeah.
You believe God? Well, I can't afford the tithe. Bless your heart. You don't believe God.
That's right.
You don't believe God. Amen. What are you praying for? God, I got somebody sick. Can you pray for him to heal? Listen, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, healing's on the way. If you're sick and you're a believer in Jesus, I will guarantee you healing. Guarantee it. Well, you can't do that. Yes, I can. Now, he's going to heal you if you're his. It may not be on this side, but that's a better healing anyway. Because he'll heal you down here. You're still going to die some point. But when you get over there, come, is anybody here yet? Listen, we get so temporal minded, we get so earthly minded, we forget that it's better to be with him. Do you pray believing? Can I show you something about praying believing? Watch this. I don't think y'all can take this. Y'all about to shout me down right here. Watch this. Watch this. He said, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live. And Jesus said, well, let me think. Jesus said, I tell you what, son, take 2 aspirin, call me in the morning. Jesus said, oh, wait a minute, that's not in there.
No.
He didn't say a thing, preacher.
No.
He just went with him.
Man.
I don't think you got that. He said, my little girl's at the point of death. I pray ye, come by, lay your hand on her, that she'll be healed and she shall live. What does that tell us? The prayer of faith moves God. You want to see God move? Pray and believe he can do it. I'm so sick and tired of us praying these weak mamby-pamby prayers. Can you imagine? I just think about it sometimes. It must be a mundane job to be God sometimes because of our prayer life. Lord, bless my children. They're fine. Lord, give me a good day. Your day's fine. Lord, bless this food before we eat. Your food's fine. Go ahead. That's why it must have got real exciting when those 3 Hebrew boys got up in front of the king and said, hey, king, we hear you say you're going to kill us if we don't bow to your image, but we just want you to know if it be so, the God we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace and we will not bow. Can you just imagine heaven must have shook when God the Father said, son, get down there and get in the furnace. Keep it hot for the enemy, but cool it for the boy. When was the last time you prayed like that? When was the last time you prayed believing God would do it? Hey, when you pray, you got to believe. And when you pray believing, it moves God. Jesus went with him. Now, the account, the record, stops in this account with Jairus in verse 24. And it picks up again in verse 35. I read that to you. And that's where I'm going to go for my next point. But just so you will understand that I did read the text, I'm going to tell you what happened in those verses. Can I just give you the cliff notes? Amen. Jesus went with him because he prayed in faith. He prayed believing. And the Bible said while they were walking, the crowd got all up around him and everybody's just squeezing in. And all of a sudden, Jesus stopped and he looked at his disciples and he said, who touched me? Now I just forget, I got a very vivid spiritual imagination, so just stay with me, man. But I can just imagine his disciples said, what? Look at all these people, Jesus. Of course somebody touched. There are a lot of people touching. He said, No. I don't mean they touched me. I mean they touched me.
Yeah.
I'm sure the disciples just didn't understand. But see, what had happened is there was a little woman in the crowd and she'd been sick with a blood issue for many years. And the Bible said she spent all her money going to all these doctors, practicing physician. And she was a little bit better. No, she spent all her money going to doctors and she was worse than when she started. Realizing that none of these physicians could help her, she made the statement, if I can ever get to the physician, amen, that's not exactly what she said, that's what I said she said. She said this, she said, if I can touch him, talking about, no, that's not what she said. She said, if I can touch the hem of his garment. How many of you know there's power in believing Jesus? The Bible said that little woman made her way through the crowd. She's probably all bent over. She doesn't feel good. She's weakened by her condition, and she's broke because she spent all her money, and she touched the robe of Jesus. There was nothing special about his robe. I'm sure Mary thought there was something. Every Jewish mother thought she made the best robe. But I'm sure there was nothing special about the robe he was wearing. But there was something special about the one what was wearing the robe. Is anybody here? And she touched his garment. She didn't even touch him. She touched the hem of his garment. And when she, I don't think y'all are with me, when she touched his robe, Jesus felt Jesus felt. He knew it. There was something that happened. And in that moment when she touched the hem of his garment, he said, "Who touched me?" Because he felt that healing virtue flow from his body. He got around and he looked around a minute. The crowd parted. And here steps this little woman. Woo! This is good right here. She's kind of hiding down there, but I'm sure she already knew something was going on. She just got called out for one thing. But I got to believe she was already feeling better. And Jesus said, "Your faith has made you whole." Hey, just stay with me here a minute. Can you imagine for just a moment if you're Jairus? He's over here and he said, "Jesus, if you will come to my house and lay your hands on my daughter, she'll be healed and she shall live." And Jesus just started going with him. Didn't say it, just went with him. And so while they're walking, I'm sure Jairus is leading because he knew where they were going. And he hears the commotion, he turns around, and this little woman has just touched his robe and she was healed. I don't know what y'all, but if I'm Jairus, I'm like, "Come on, Jesus. My house is right. My little girl, come on." Because his faith was soaring. Are you with me yet? Listen, when we see God do something in somebody else's life, it encourages us. And can I just stop and throw something in right here? This don't cost extra, right? I'm just going to throw this in, all right? You ought to tell when God does something in your life. We're good about giving requests. We ought to have some praise services about what God has done. Amen. We ought to be the first to step. Listen, don't always be the one that's got some negative request. Won't you sometimes say, "I just want to tell you what the Lord has done." Amen. And I can just imagine, I see in my mind's eye, Jairus is out of his mind excited. Over here, he believed God. His prayer was exemplary of belief. "Lord, I pray, come by my house. My daughter will be healed and she'll live." He had faith. He had enough faith that it moved Jesus. But now he saw a little woman who didn't even get Jesus' attention, just slipped up and touched his robe. His faith has got to be soaring. I'm sure he was about to run up and grab his wife and say, "Honey, it's all right. It's all right. I got Jesus." And this little woman just touched his robe and she was healed. "Our little girl going to be all right." Amen. While Jesus was speaking, telling this lady she was healed, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, certain. My, we're going to talk about certain. There came certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" Let's talk about who this is. Certain. The Bible doesn't tell us if it's a man or a woman, just calls them certain. It doesn't tell us if they're old or young or middle-aged, tells us nothing about that. Doesn't tell us if they were raised in the Baptist church or not, just calls them certain. And here's what they said. She's dead. I've yet to be in a Baptist church that didn't have certain. Hold on now. That certain in the Baptist church is normally the chairman of a committee. And I know which committee it is. I'm going to help you. It's the cold water committee. Come on. Certain doesn't say if it's a man or a woman. Doesn't say how old they are. Doesn't say if they're in a Baptist church or grew up. It just calls them certain. And they come with this message. She's dead. Who does that sound like to you? Who does that sound? It don't sound like Jesus. I said it don't sound like Jesus, but it does sound like somebody knows Jesus. The devil. She's dead. We have folks in our churches who are extremely and exceedingly joyful to pronounce bad news. You just look like a dark cloud when you walk in, and we know you about to rain on us. Pastor says, I tell you, Lord laid something on my heart I believe we need to do. And you'll be the first one to stand up there. Well, we tried that and it don't work. Just sit down. Well, I believe God's leading us to do this. Oh, that'll cost too much money. Sit down. She's dead. I tell you, we need to win our community for Jesus. She's dead. That's what certain likes to yell all the time. She's dead. She's dead. It just almost becomes a sound of glee in their heart because they got to report bad news. She's dead. I just stopped to tell you, you got to believe when you pray. But secondly, you got to believe in the face of opposition. I said, you got to believe in the face of opposition. Jairus' faith is at zenith. It is at its zenith. It is at its highest point. He just saw a woman healed who all she did was touch his robe. She didn't even ask for it. I said, she didn't even ask for it. She just touched his robe and she's healed. He is believing God can, hey, I got the right one. This is the one. She's dead. Always somebody, isn't there? Can I tell you something? If you don't believe that, I just wanted to tell you there'll always be somebody. I've heard too many folks who somebody will get saved and they're on fire for the Lord and telling their friends and their family and their neighbors about Jesus, and I hear some good old saint will say, oh, it'll wear off. She's dead. That's what you're saying. So I just came by tonight to tell you, if you're on the cold water committee, especially if you're the chairman, I just stopped by tonight to tell you something. Resign! Get off it! We're tired of hearing it! Well, preacher, you're not even here all the time. I know, and I'm tired of hearing it! I'm sure everybody else is. You and your joyful negativity. God help us. Some of y'all gonna get to heaven and say at the marriage supper of the Lamb, why are we having this? I don't know if you gonna make it, tell you the truth. She's dead. She's dead. Can you hear him? She's dead. I don't know if it's a man or a woman. She's dead. That's all he said. She's dead. It's with glee. We live in a world who loves to proclaim she's dead. And they love to proclaim it to those of us who believe Jesus to be who he says he is. Let me just tell you something. I'm not political. I don't care about politics. But I tell you, I care about Jesus. And this young man named Charlie Kirk was unashamed to give a testimony of Jesus in his life. I don't believe he was killed because he was a political activist. I believe he was killed because he proclaimed Jesus boldly. You know why I believe that? Because we live in a world that hates us. Bibi Netanyahu from Israel stood up at the United Nations this week and 3/4 of the people got up and walked out. Why do they hate the Jews? J-E-S-U-S. That's why. That's why. That's where Jesus came from. That's where Jesus was born. So we live in a world that hates everything about him. That's why I more and more love that fella named Franklin Graham. Y'all know who Franklin Graham? Let me tell you, I don't care what else you think about him. I want to tell you what I think about him when I see him on the news. He always talks about Jesus. Amen. Now listen, I've heard folk get on the news and talk about generic God.
Yeah.
But you start talking about specific Jesus.
Right.
Come on now. Hey, even the Muslims talk about God. It's a little G, but they call it God. But you start talking about Jesus, J-E-S-U-S. The Bible said he is a scandal and a stumbling block to those who are perishing. You talk about Jesus. And that causes a world to rise up against us. But I've come by tonight to tell you, you've got to believe even in the face of opposition. I just believe he is who he says he is. I believe he's the only way to heaven. I said, I believe he's the only way to heaven. I don't believe that his word has been compromised. I don't believe his word has error. I don't believe his word is at fault. But according to what he told us, this word is settled in heaven forever. And if you oppose this word, you're opposing what God said. And I just choose to believe him. Brother and sister, you got to stand and believe in the face of opposition. It's easy to believe when nobody stands against you. It's easy to believe when everybody's applauding. But it's a different story when everybody turns their back on you. Let me go back to those three Hebrew boys for just a minute. Could I go back there? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Do you remember the story? The Bible said that the king ordered them to be thrown into the furnace. He said, heat it up seven times hotter. And they tied them up in their own clothes, and he called strong men to come and get them. Some of us will stand until strong men show up. Are you with me? Oh, we'll make a stand until somebody else stands against us. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they stood anyhow. And after they got thrown in the furnace, I'm sure the king got to looking around and said, what's that pile of ashes? Oh, that's strong men.
Yeah.
Come on, is anybody here yet? Hey, you got to stand and believe, even in the face of opposition. She's dead! Hey, listen, watch it. Don't miss this. Jesus heard certain. Said he heard him. Heard her. I don't know what it he or her. I don't know. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, could we just stop here for just a minute? Can I tell you something? If you're Mr. or Miss Negative, you just again everything, that's your name again. You just again it. Hey, let me tell you something. Are you listening? Jesus hears every word. You think you can say things where not everybody hears, just that person you're trying to degrade and demoralize, but Jesus hears everything.
Amen.
When Jesus heard, she's dead! He saith unto Jairus. Are you reading this with me? You with me? Be not afraid. Hey, our God's not a God of fear. Do you know that? I said, our God's not a God of fear. Do you know that? I said, our God is not a God of fear. Be not afraid. Why would he say such a thing? I don't know. He just got word his daughter's dead. That's probably why. He said, be not afraid. Well, wait a minute, Jesus, you want me to not be afraid, but what am I going to take in place of my fear? Jesus said, be not afraid, only believe.
Good.
only believe. This was the instruction of Jesus. Only believe. Hey, y'all, watch this. That's the message. Do you notice what Jesus didn't say? Don't worry about it, I'll heal her. Jesus didn't say that. He didn't say, look, I am the resurrection. It's going to be all right. He didn't say that. Hey, there's nothing impossible with me, Jairus. He didn't say that. He said, don't be afraid. Only believe. I don't know if you've got it or not. Because, see, sometimes when we get bad news, we're ready to throw in the towel. Because we don't know what's going to happen. Jesus didn't tell Jairus what was going to happen. He just told him to believe. Can I help you? I'm going to leave in a few minutes. I'm just going to get real, all right? Here we go. You ready? It doesn't matter if you know what the results are going to be. Your job is not to know what the results are going to be. Your job and my job is just to believe God. So if the doctor walks in and says, well, you got cancer, you got 3 months to live, just jump up and shout the victory. Amen. Why would I say such a thing? Because that's not God. That's your doctor. You might die when you walk out of his office and get run over by a car. Would you have liked to know that? It's not my job to know. It's my job to believe. You're going to die. Well, bless your heart, we all going to die. It's appointed once for man to die and then to judgment. Yeah, we're going to die. But that's God's business. Lord, I will trust you if. Hello? Somebody said, you've lost all your money. You're bankrupt. You have nothing. And I say, well, just trust the Lord. And you say, well, if I knew where my next meal was coming from, I'd trust him. Well, if you knew where your next meal was coming from, you wouldn't need to trust him. Is anybody with me yet? See, Jesus looked at Jairus and he didn't say, your issues are going to be addressed. I'm coming to your house. Things are going to be. No, he just said, believe me. And don't be afraid. Ladies and gentlemen, it's impossible to please the Lord without faith. So we please him when we step out believing him, just taking him at his word. You believe God? Do you believe God? I don't know what's going on in your life. Do you believe him? That's the message tonight. Just believe. Just believe. But Rock, you don't understand. I got this. I don't need to know. Just trust him. When I was in seminary, and I had these Greek tests, I called my little mother, who was a prayer warrior. And I'd tell her how bad it was because I got a Greek test. Lord help me. I'd pray with John, even so come, Lord Jesus. And he didn't because my motives weren't right. And I'd tell my mother how bad it was. And you know what she'd say? I mean this about everything. She'd say, well, the Lord might come back before that even happens. Why are you worried about it? Won't you come down here and study for this? That's what I wanted to tell her, but I wouldn't say that. But what she said was truth. Because most of us worry about that which has never even happened. And then when it happens, we worry even more. Because it happened. Here's Jairus. Come to my house, my daughter's going to die. Now he gets word she's dead. And what does Jesus say? Just believe me. See, I don't know if you got it yet. Over here, he said, if you'll come to my house, I pray thee, come to my house. My little girl about to die. Lay your hands on her, she'll be healed, and she shall live. That's believing. He saw a woman touch the hem of his robe and got healed without even asking. His faith is climbing. And now he gets word of what he had gone to the master to begin with for. She's dead. Can I tell you something else about certain? Certain don't believe God. They don't know him. Let me tell you how I know they don't know him. They said this. She's dead! Why trouble the master any further? If you think somebody dying is troubling Jesus, you don't know him.
Amen.
I don't know if you heard me yet. I said, if you think somebody dying is troubling Jesus, you don't know him. Because he's already been there. He already got the t-shirt. Come on. He got the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And he came out victorious. Death doesn't faze King Jesus.
Amen.
Just believe God. That's the message. You believe in him? Let me tell you how imperative it is. Number one, you can't go to heaven if you don't believe God. Bible said, if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and on the third day, God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved.
Amen.
There'll be nobody in heaven who doesn't believe that.
Yeah.
Don't tell me how good you are. Don't tell me who your family is. Do you believe God or not?
Amen.
You got to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, lived a sinless life, died on the cross as the Lamb of God without spot nor blemish. He who knew no sin took our sin on the cross, and he died in our place and shed his blood that we could be forgiven. 3 days later rose from the dead, and then he ascended back to the Father, seated at the right hand of majesty on high, ever interceding for the saints. You got to believe. Not only do you have to believe to be saved, but you got to believe to be sustained. As a follower of Christ, I still have to practice believing, because I live in a lost world that loves to tell me, she's dead! And whenever my faith really gets high, somebody will show up and tell me she's dead. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You believe in God? Well, what happened? It don't matter. See, you're missing it. It don't matter. Jesus didn't say, believe me if something's going to happen. He just said, believe me. Is anybody here yet?
Yes,
see, we're so carnal-minded, we got to know what the outcome is or we ain't going to believe. Well, bless your heart. You don't need to know the outcome. You need to believe God.
Amen.
At the point of his highest belief, Jairus receives the most discouraging news in his life. I think about old Peter. You remember Peter? He's out there walking on the water. Man, I've preached that so many times. Preached about telling folk to get out the boat. You know, get out of boats. You got to believe. Get out of the boat. Amen. You don't need water walking faith until you get out of the boat. That's good preaching. But anyway, I got to reading that text one day and the Lord just grabbed my attention. You know, he got to seeing everything around him, seeing himself, whatever, and he sank. And he said, Jesus, save me. And he saved him. You know what the Bible said? They got back in the boat. I've preached get out of the boat so many times, but God got me a new sermon called Get in the Boat. Watch this. There was not a higher moment of faith in the life of Peter than when he was walking on the water. Don't look at me like that. You say, well, that's not true. Have you ever walked on water? That's faith. That's believing. And then he looked away from Jesus and he sank. He had his highest moment of faith and his lowest moment of faith all at the same time. And Jesus said, because of your lack of faith, I'm going to let you drown. No. He got him back in the boat.
Jairus is having his highest moment of belief, and his greatest discouragement comes in one verse. And Jesus says, just believe me. Amen. Hey, if you don't know Jesus, would you come meet him tonight? Whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Somebody's believing God for something bigger than you can even imagine. I want you to know he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything you can think or imagine. Just believe him. Just believe him. Just a moment, we're going to have an invitation, give you an opportunity to respond. But just so you'll know that I have read the rest of the account. It don't matter. I said it don't matter as far as what he told Jairus. You just believe me. Don't be afraid. Believe. But I'm going to tell you what happened. Jesus headed on down the road to Jairus' house. And when he got there, there's people gathered and all the mourners are out there crying. And Jesus said, why y'all crying? She's not dead. She's just sleeping. And by this time, certain had already gotten back and gotten his whole committee together. How do I know? Because the Bible said they laughed him to scorn. You said she's sleeping, but she's dead. Jesus got Jairus and his wife, Peter, James, and John said, come with me, boys. And so they went in the house and they took Jesus into the room. He walks into the room where this little girl, wait a minute. The resurrection got Jairus and his wife, Peter, James, and John, and the resurrection walked into this room. Lord in heaven, I'm feeling that from head to toe. Amen. Listen. And he walks over to that little girl, and he said, get up. Rise up. You know what she did? She got up. You know why? Because the resurrection told her to. She got up. And then Jesus proved she is a Baptist, and he was too. Said, get her something to eat. She's hungry. Amen. It's in there. I'm not making it up. Hey, Jesus is able to even bring the dead back to life. But whether or not he does, doesn't change that we're supposed to believe. I told you this morning that my dad, I was a freshman in college when my dad was called home to be with the Lord, 44 years old. I'd only answered the call to preach a little less than a year before the Lord took him. We didn't know to the autopsy that he had a malignant brain tumor. We had no idea. Normally, one of the first signs of a brain tumor is a seizure. And he had a terrible seizure on the way to the hospital. And I want you to know, I believe God in his mercy took him. I believe he took him then. It took me a while, but I thank God for taking him. And he didn't have to suffer with that. Amen. 2010, my sister had been battling ovarian cancer for 11 years. 46 years old. She turned 46, December the 4th. A couple days later, I took her to the hospice house up in Bristol, Tennessee. On December 29th, she went home to be with the Lord. In 2015, my little mother was 76 years old. She fell and broke her hip. Got her to the hospital. They did a partial hip replacement, and she had been up walking down the halls. It was a Sunday. I had called her that morning on my way to church. I was pastoring, and she said, honey, don't come up here. She's a preacher's wife. She knew. She said, don't come up here. It's Sunday. You got a lot to do. I'll be fine. I went to church that night. I hadn't gone up there all day, and God just spoke to me, and I needed to go. So I went up there, and me and my wife went, and we sat with her till about 10 o'clock, and the Lord had just worked things out. She needed to go to rehab to get back to using that hip. And we had a friend of the family who was a therapist, a physical therapist, who was going to come and live with her. sweet lady, going to live with her for the next couple weeks and help her get rehabbed. We were so excited. God just worked it all out. About 3:30 that morning, they called and said, "You need to come up here. Your mother's not doing well. She's unresponsive." And she had a brain bleed and died. I'm not telling you that for sympathy. I had one mother, one daddy, and one sister. That's my whole family. And they're all in heaven. Death is not easy. I miss them. My daddy never got to meet my little wife. Never got to see his grandson. Miss him. But the resurrection is enough. And I've trusted him even through the valley of the shadow of death. And he's always been faithful. I don't know what you're facing, but I will tell you this. Only believe. Just trust him. I mean, you just bulldog tenaciously trust him. I don't care if all hell rises up against you, just trust and believe God. His word has not changed. He has never failed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I've come to tell you, you can trust him. So I don't know what you're wrestling with tonight, but if you're trying to handle something that you can't handle, you need to come and lay it down at the feet of Jesus and just leave it with him. Say, here it is. Now don't come down here and lay it down. Say, "Lord, I'm laying it down." Pick it up and walk out and worry about it. Because you didn't give it to him. You kept it. Just give it to him. I said, just give it to him. Because he is enough. Hey, think about it like this. I'm done right here. I'm done. Listen. Why are you worried about things, situations, and stuff when our God can give you the assurance of eternity? Do you not think he can handle all this other stuff? Only believe. If you never trusted him, come tonight. Take me by the hand. Take our preacher by the hand and say, "I want Jesus." We'd love to introduce you to him. Would you come? Somebody say, "Preacher, I'm dealing with some, so don't you come lay it at the altar. I got some sick, but come lay it at the altar. I'm sick. I'm going to die. Lay it at the altar." Whatever it is. I got financial problems. Lay it at the altar. I've got all kind of relationship problems. Lay it at the altar. My job's terrible. Lay it at the altar. Amen. And just believe God. Because he is enough. Don't be afraid. Only believe. Father, thank you. Thank you for meeting with us tonight. Thank you that you are enough. Thank you, God, and I can trust you. Lord, I just want to thank you that you've never failed me. You've never let me down. You've never showed up late. Thank you, Lord. But, oh God, I want to believe even more. Help me, Lord, to trust you. I'm like that man later in the Gospel of Mark who said, "I believe, but help thou my unbelief." Oh, God, for my brothers and sisters who sit here struggling to believe you, I pray tonight in the name of Jesus they'd just bow ahead before you and say, "I believe, but help thou my unbelief." And Lord, for that man, woman, or young person who sits here lost without you, they know if they die, they're going to hell. Maybe they know if they die, they don't know where they're going. They just need some hope. God, I pray tonight they'd come and place their faith, trust, hope, and confidence in you. For I know you will save them. God, it's your invitation. I pray you'll divide it unto yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. Very quietly and reverently, stand to your feet. We're going to sing together.